Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the show. Today, we're talking to Tim Bosworth about kindness. My name's Chris Sutton. This is Mental Conversations.
I'm not sure I can be so absent-minded.
Boom. And we're live. I'm sat looking at the, I've said this to someone before, but annoyingly handsome face of Tim Bosworth. I'm trying to get really good looking people on the show. And I know it's not what you were expecting me to start a podcast about where you're talking about kindness, but you know, it must be sickening looking in the mirror every day. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Oh, listen, absolute pleasure, Chris. Absolute pleasure. Do you know, there was a joke that someone said, and it's along the lines of like, I wanted to get a really good looking person on the show, but, he wasn't available, so we got Tim on. You know, I thought that was going to be
I've got a face for an audio only podcast, so thankfully no one knows. I wanted to say a massive thank you for coming on. And for those of you who don't know, Tim is the host of the Kindest podcast. Really recommend you check it out, and we'll talk about it as we go through this, because today we're going to talk about kindness. Which is a brilliant subject when you take into account that the whole reason of this podcast being is about having a lighthearted approach towards mental health and having like a positive look at what we can do to influence our own lives and other people's. And what better way than by being kind to each other? But I'm absolutely fascinated to know why you've taken it to the point where you've started a whole podcast that surrounds kindness. So what does it mean to you?
Do you know, it's a really good question, and one that I think changes regularly for me. And today being a really sort of poignant day for that, and for the context of your listeners, today is 37 years to the day that my father passed away. I was about, I think, 10 or 11. My dad was a white Englishman. I'm of mixed race origin. My mother was from the Caribbean island of Tobago, Trinidad and Tobago. It's a twin island. And we lived in Harrogate in North Yorkshire. But we also boarded and lived abroad in a place called Lusaka in Zambia. If you haven't heard of Zambia, it's north of South Africa, to give you a point of reference. And we were schooled out there for a short period of time. We then came back to the UK, and we're going to board in Harrogate or nearby whilst Dad stayed over there. And unfortunately, we heard the news. And this is, again, to this day, I remember it vividly. And this is an anchor back to kindness, I suppose. But I remember the day when my mum was told, and I was sitting upstairs, or rather on top of the stairs, and I saw these two men in black and white suits, almost like Men in Black, you know, just a black suit, white shirt, black tie, very formal. I later found out years later that they were police constables, but I must have framed it in my mind that this was just sort of suited in black and white shirt, black tie. And I don't know how my mother kept it together, being told that her husband had died, but she told us, and I remember manically, and I kid you not, starting to do press-ups on top of the stairs and saying to myself, when I'm older, I'm not going to die. I'm going to stay fit, and just manically doing press-ups.
Wow.
I don't know then if I was thinking, okay, if you're old, you die. I don't know if it's must stay fit so I don't die. But that anchored my first loss in my life. And I didn't know how to deal with that. And then fast forward to 2002, where my older sister passed away. So I had two major losses in my life. And again, I was thinking, why is this happening? And when my father passed away, and then consequently my sister passed away, and there's in between years from when I was about 10 to 20, I studied psychology at university because I wanted to get an answer for myself. I wanted to figure out the why bit. Why do people die? Why are people left alone? Why is there discomfort? Why is there poverty, et cetera, et cetera? So all those questions go around. And so that framed my view of the world, really, which was that there is loss, loss of love, loss of life, loss of business. And it almost became a layering piece for me, so much that because I'd experienced loss, the only way was up. So it almost became, to quote David Goggins, I was callousing the mind. I was able to just put any obstacle in my way and think, well, okay, what's the worst can happen? You know, I've been to the low. I've had, you know, loved ones who have passed away, which to me was the lowest of the low. Mm. This instance that I'm in is nothing. It's contextual. Therefore, I can get through it. And so I use that as a sort of a metaphor for sort of pushing on and trying to be the best version of myself. And then again, fast forward many years, many various sort of careers that I had with my time in London across sort of sales and publishing and different sectors, really, not really finding myself, to be fair. And even now I struggle with the title. You know, when someone says, oh, yes, do you know Johnny? He's a doctor. Oh, do you know Claire? She's a dentist. Those are the titles that define them. Mm. I always struggled with the title because it never really defined me. What am I? Oh, I work in sales. Am I sales exec? Oh, I work in marketing. Am I marketing exec? Oh, I'm a marketing director. I didn't like the title.
Yeah.
And there was a book I read by a lady called Nancy Albaher, and it was One Job, Multiple Careers. And she talked about that we were all slashers. And this term to me was just a bit pretty odd, but it really resonated because it meant that the title didn't define you. You could be the lawyer slash karate expert slash yogi slash podcaster, and the world in which we were, she said, we're living in and we're going to live in was going to be one in which we obviously now live in now, where everybody can be a podcaster, a writer, an author, etc.
Yeah,
and that made me think about what is it that I wanted to be, and to be honest, because I still don't know. I've had so many titles that I use sometimes in conversation, you know, when people say, so what do you do? I'm like, I'm in a restaurant.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt, but like we do define ourselves by that. And we do actually, it's generally the first question you ask a stranger, isn't it? After perhaps, what's your name? You know, if you're like in a room, under whatever circumstance, or you're kind of like, you know, or get to know the person next to you, you know, whatever, and you're like, what's your name? And then it's like, either where'd you come from or what do you do? And you know, so you attach yourself to that, your identity to that job. So it becomes very, really important that, because people kind of either look, you know, or your perception is that they might look down at you, or they might look up at you, or they might whatever, you know. And sometimes that's why people go like try to do the training to become a doctor or whatever it is, because of, you know, prestige even. So it is a bit of a trap, isn't it? Or it certainly can be.
Yeah, without a doubt. And there's a book, I know you're a learned individual. There's a book on transactional analysis, and the book is called What Do You Say After You Say Hello, which is all about that. It's all about that kind of title that we give ourselves. But I feel like I haven't answered the question. So in essence, the answer to your question was that my mother is of an age now in her late 70s. And one of my idols, you know, manners are important. I now, through her and now through indirectly through my children, I ensure that manners are important. Writer, thank you notes, etc. I thought, what a way to be able to capture this woman who has been instrumental in my life since my father's passing. To honour memories, you know, I think 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was all about blogs and so on and so forth. Now, obviously, with social media and technology advancements, it's podcasts. I thought to myself, whilst having a conversation with my mum, I thought to myself, well, what better way of being able to capture the essence of what I valued over the many years of this individual, my mother, that in this instance, by asking other people what they thought kindness was. And I asked them in the show, what does kindness mean to them? And I haven't actually asked myself that question. I think, come on Chris's show, he might be asking, what does kindness mean to me? And I think to me, kindness is manners. Kindness is taking a moment to think. You know, I've got a busy mind anyway. And I try and second guess people to fast track the resolution or the achievement of the goal. So I'm mindful I just need to slow down a little bit and take stock of people, take stock of moments. because we're so busy. Next. One second. Let me finish that thing. And before you know it, the moment's gone. Whether you're with your kids, whether you're with your partner, whether you're in your job, we're chasing that next moment. So I'm really trying. And through the show, it's really helped me. I don't know if you found it with your conversations with your guests, but I've really found it helpful. Just listening. And you're good at that. You know, listening to your guests and hearing what they say. And that's why I'm almost pacing myself now, because I know when I get excited, I'm going to ramble. So I'm being mindful of taking a pace and slowing it down.
Yeah.
So in summary, kindness to me is manners, taking stock, being mindful, and just taking a moment.
Amazing. What an answer. Thank you. No, I tell you what, you know, it's funny. The reason I love these conversations is you get these nuggets that come out. And one of the things that you just said there to me, it literally like hit me in the stomach like an arrow, really. You're saying about those moments and taking the time to like appreciate those moments, because actually you're so busy doing whatever you think is really super important at the time that you've skipped on and you're doing something else, and you go, oh, I must go back to that. And then you go back and it's gone. You know, this happens to me all the time with my kids. You know, you should, is that kind of daddy, look at this, look at this. And you're like, for God's sake, if I hear another daddy, look at this, I'm going to, you know. And then you're kind of like, what was it? And it'll be like, oh, it's gone now. But yeah, I managed to do something, you know, it might be my 8-year-old saying, I've just managed to do a kickover, you know, which is a gymnastics term, you know, and like, you know, like she does this thing where she'll go directly into bridge, you know, like with her palms on the ground from standing up, and then flick her legs over so that she's, it's incredible. She's like a piece of elastic, but she'll be like, you know, she might be saying, daddy, look at this. I think I'm going to do it. And I'm like, no, I'm doing the washing up. Shut up. You know? Yeah, and then you come in and she's done it and you've missed it. And you're like, damn it. You know, it's like taking that time, taking that kind of listening and being like, do you know what? What's more important right now? And that does feed into kindness.
It's hard though, Chris. It's hard that you say that. It's hard because you're right. Waiting for that moment for that child to show that thing, that daddy, 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 infinitum, look at me, to know that you need to do that thing, washing, cleaning, email, whatever. Yeah, thinking, oh, okay. But you're right. It takes that kind of like stoic, okay, in this moment, what is more important, that email, the washing, or seeing my child's, I don't know, delight at you being delighted that they've
doing
done
a kick
the bridge
over.
Or...
See, I've learned something from you. You've learned what a kickover is. You know, it's give and take. so like you, I remember because I came on your show, I was really like grateful to be able to come and talk to you on that. And again, the Kindest podcast, KINDIST. And you were saying to me about kindness, and it got me obviously thinking about it as well. But one of the things that I found on this show is, like you just said, I learn a lot from the people that come on, you know, and I'm not just like self-deprecating and putting myself down. I'll genuinely say to people, it's worth listening to because of the amount of information you get from these, from all these other people. People that listen to me now will quite often know what I'm going to say because I repeat, because you repeat yourself, you can't help it. You have the same stories, the same kind of things prompt the same things. So, but new guests that come on every week is new ideas, it's fresh ideas, it's things you've not heard before, it's viewpoints you've not heard before. So how's that influenced the way you lead your life then, in listening to all these different people?
It's difficult. I become conscious of my actions, which I suppose is a good thing. You know, if the show is called The Greediest, then you can be greedy and you can go out there and do things that are you know, selfish and greedy, but it's called The Bloody Kindest. I'm like, duh. So, you know, if I see an instance where I have to be kind, I can't walk past that situation now because I'm walking the walk and talking the talk, if you like. You know, you wouldn't be like, hang on, isn't he that guy the kindest? Yeah, but I saw him just like pushing the queue somewhere. Or, you know, it's just like, duh. So in a way, I'm shackled by, you know, both the name and the actions that go with it. Which is good, you know. And what I've learned from my guests is that everyone's viewpoint is different. And to what, you know, I think another one of my mother's quotes, I'm sure she's taken it from someone else, but the idea of walking a day in someone's shoes, you never know how someone feels unless you walk a day in a person's shoes. It's similar with kindness, you know, you can say, well, no, kindness to me is all about manners. Well, no, kindness to me is about whatever. You know, it's all contextual, isn't it? It's all individual, because you don't know what one person feels like unless you ask them, perhaps, you know, or should you just walk a day in their shoes?
You know, it's fascinating that, and again, you said something that sparked something in me. Have you, talked about transactional analysis and read like and a book earlier on. There's another book that you may be aware of called The Four Agreements. Have you heard of this book?
No.
It's amazing. I recommend anyone to get it. I should remember who it's by. I'm just seeing if it's on the bookshelf next to me. Don Miguel. It's essentially about almost like four rules to go through life by, and one of them which links into kindness, I feel, is don't make assumptions. You know, when you make assumptions about a person or a situation or something that's happening, and you look at it through a lens of, I don't know, fear, grumpiness, pick a negative emotion kind of thing, mm-hmm. you can send yourself a little bit crazy because you think the world's against you. And I know I might be going a bit fast there, not for you, but I might be going a bit fast even for myself in terms of getting from situation happens. My viewpoint is something negative because, I don't know, something's happened earlier today, not having a great day. And then you look at it and you go, he's an idiot. He shouldn't have done that. Why is he saying that? If you approach things through that prism of kindness, and the assumptions, if you choose to make an assumption, is one of positivity by looking at it through a viewpoint of like empathy or compassion, you ultimately will live a happier life, won't you?
Agreed.
Because you're in a better mind space.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
How do you find, it makes perfect sense. How do you find, because I think we're on the same path in so much that we have this kind of locus of control that we believe that we are the controllers of the controller of our lives. Whereas how do you find people who, it was just, you know, it was meant to happen. I don't know, it's just meant to happen. How do you deal with people like that?
With patience, I think is the answer. because, you know, I'll like take you behind the curtain for a second. Just before we came onto this call, I'm in the middle of writing a presentation that I'm delivering next week on loneliness. And loneliness is the theme of World Mental Health Week next week, when this is coming out, incidentally. And I think I got that right. That's what they've asked me to talk about anyway. And I said, and I'll be funny, but I'm not sure I'm the right person to talk about this, because I'm not a very lonely person in my life as it is right now. I'm surrounded by people that love me and that I love. And I don't spend a lot of time sitting with that emotion, let's say. And then I was like, and they were like, oh yeah, but you're quite engaging and you make things a bit of a laugh rather than it being dry. And it's, you know, it's for the organization that I work for. And I'm like, yeah, okay, do you know what? Fine. That's fine. I'll do it. But my viewpoint has gone to, yeah, you can define loneliness, but what I'm going to talk about is perception versus reality. And what I'm going to talk about is, if you carry on down the path that you're on now, be it around feeling lonely or not happy with the weight you're at, or not happy with the amount of exercise you do, or the amount of contact you have with family, or, you know, fill in the blank. How are you going to be in 5 years' time if that's the same, if you keep doing the same behaviors? How are you going to be in 10 years' time if you keep doing the same behaviors? You know, you're going to be a recluse, or you're going to be really overweight, or you're going to be even more unfit, or again, whichever of those things, interventions I just mentioned. And that's where my mind goes to. But the obstacle is, and the problem that I have, even as I'm writing this presentation, is how are the people going to receive that because of what you just said, Tim? If the people that are sat there in that room or are sat at home on the Teams call or the Zoom call or whatever are of the mindset of, well, no, this isn't my fault. This is, you know, I'm not, this is just the cards that life has dealt me. then they might actually resent me saying, look at your life like this. So I'm trying to very carefully word how I'm going to put it in saying.
Now you said something really interesting there about them resenting you. I don't think they would. However, I think they might question, in my view anyway, I don't think resentment's the right word, but I certainly think they might question, who are you to tell me that my life is in my control? Whereas I think what you should be doing, and I think just from knowing you, is framing it around the, you can have that view of reality and you can have that view of perception. And you can choose as to whether or not you believe what I say or not. It's their choice, right? And that's where people like us believe it. You have the choice to take on someone's words and go, all right, okay, I can understand what you're saying there. It makes sense. So I've got the opportunity to change myself, an opportunity to get fit if I want to, as opposed to, who is he to tell me what I need to do?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. And it's fascinating to me that the biggest change that a person can make in their life, I don't know, that might be too grand a statement. Certainly for me, the biggest realization was how much is within, maybe not my control, but how much I can manage. And I'm kind of stealing from Steve Peters here, who wrote The Chimp Paradox, where he talks about managing your chimp, your inner chimp. Mm-hmm. And I think that key word is managing it. You know, it's not about control necessarily, because that can take you down another path that can be make you quite miserable as well, if you want to be trying to control everything that's happening. But if you can manage those emotions, and if you can manage the fact that you think, you know, exercise is a great one, actually, I want to be fitter. Okay, well, what does that mean? What does it look like? What do you need to do to get there? And just taking that first step, you know? And I think this is what I talked about on your show, out every Wednesday. Or I'm just going to, I'll keep plugging. But it's about that key thing, is about taking a first step, you know, and realizing, well, yeah, I'm not going to take a first step and then be blooming Mo Farah. You know, I need to take a second step and then a third step. Chris,
do you feel, again, sorry to interrupt you there, do you feel that, I don't know, I feel that people like you or I view the world completely differently to other people. And I feel that way because we've gone through experiences in our lives and have come out the other side and are able then to view the world from a, that's where I was, and this is where I am, and this is where I could be. Those who haven't experienced experiences of loss, of love, etc., are only coming from one framework. So they look at the world through it. Well, how can I? I'd never be able to do that. Why would I be able to do that? It takes individuals like ourselves to go, you can do it. You can do it. To be able to champion them, to get that engine started in those individuals, because they haven't got those internal cheerleaders that we have, because we've been to the other side and we know what the other side looks like. And knowing what the other side looks like, your cheerleader, your internal cheerleader is going, yeah, we don't get there.
Absolutely. There's a thing there about being like if you have a goal, whether you like work towards a goal, like towards a kind of, this is what I want to be, or you're better off being motivated, if you're actually more motivated by moving away from a position where you don't want to be, you know, like, so it's kind of like, I don't want to be really unfit, and that's why I keep up my fitness regime, rather than I want to be 10 stone or whatever, I don't know, making it up, but like, you know,
I'm
like
that guy. Yeah, who are you? Are you the guy who goes, I don't want to be an unfit guy, or you want to be, I want to be the fit guy?
No, I'm away from. I don't want to be the I don't want to be the unfit guy. That's my thing. So you know, I'm kind of like that fear. I mean, I'll give you a really stupid example, but every year my parents make a calendar for the upcoming year. I get it for Christmas. And last year, must have been last May, I suppose, because on May, which I've just turned over a couple of days ago, there's a picture of me and my partner, Claire, and I am overweight. And it's a terrible picture. And I'm like, goodness only knows why they've picked that picture. I look awful in this photo, right? And I'm like, I've got to look at this for 31 blooming days now. Anyway, I've looked at that and I was like, I'm actually tempted to put a picture over the top of it. It's that bad. And then I thought, no, that's great motivation that for me to really kick on with keeping eating a bit healthier, keeping up on exercise, because I'm like, I do not want to go back to being that guy.
Right.
And that's only a year ago. And I've been doing this podcast a few years. Like, yes. So I know that it's more like, you know, so which one are you, towards or away from?
I'm similar to you. My father passing away, and this fear that basically today when I was talking to a staff member about it, and I started crying, which I don't often do, but for no other reason. But so thinking about it, I thought there's clearly an emotion there in me that says I went to the graveside today and put some flowers down, and I basically said to my dad, I wish you could have seen the children that I have, and I wish you could see the man that I've become. And so my driver to keep fit is to keep fit so my children can see me as an old man.
Amazing.
You know, because that's just how I frame it.
That is ultimate power, isn't it? That is an ultimately powerful statement, that. And, and the fact that, you know, the little we know of each other already, you know, in the times we've chatted to each other, anyone would be proud of you and the stuff that you do. You know, I'm not trying to get you to cry on a podcast, but like, I'm absolutely, you know, I know your dad, your sister and your mum, like, certainly like, would be so proud of the work that you do and the way that you push forward and the way you try and learn. Even the way you said about, oh, I went to university to do psychology. I wish I'd done that, to like look into those whys. And also you mentioned about, you know, the kind of people, and there are others out there that kind of look at the world and think, actually, I can influence this and I can influence my own outcomes. Mm-hmm. That in itself is such a powerful thing. And you passing that on to your children is such a powerful thing.
Thank you. And again, maybe I don't know about you, but sometimes that self-doubt kicks in, like, yeah, a little on me, and what am I doing? I think, funny, we have shows, both of us, that are trying to sort of champion the conversation, a mental conversation or a kindness conversation. Yeah, in the back of my mind, like, who cares? But then someone might, and it's that touch point that you think, well, if I can impact one person, I might impact two people, and then two, ten, et cetera, right?
Yeah, but that's the driver. And that's the key to this, you know. Certainly, you know, I don't make any money off from this podcast. I don't even attempt to do anything like that. This is about getting it out there, getting a message out there for helping people. And when you have that kind of intention, when, you know, the currency, if you like, is actually the people that reach out and say, whoa, I listened to that and it blew my mind. I hadn't thought about looking at it that way. And I'm like, my God, you know. I'm going to do this forever, you know, like that's the fuel, if you like.
Yeah, totally.
So how do your, and just, we've got about 5 minutes left. How do your children respond when you're kind of trying to come from that position of kindness? Because obviously children can be unpredictable.
Yeah, children obviously test any parent's patience, but I think essentially I'm hoping that they see the world through moments. I tell them three things. I say, Daddy will ask you the question politely. I don't want to get upset and I don't want to get cross. So there are three stages. I don't know, please tidy your room or please do that thing. I've asked you politely. Then I don't want to be upset and I don't want to get cross. What I tell them is the stage from upset to cross is quite fast. It can go from, oh, please just do that thing, please. But it rarely gets to stage three. You know, it's very much a case of do that thing.
Love it.
If any of us are hurt at home, whether it's my wife or the children, it's right. Everyone in, everyone has a family cuddle. Everyone says, how are you? I understand. Just trying to build internally, because the external world that they live in is a world, Chris, you and I have not lived. You know, the kids today have so much to deal with, and it's a world I'm sure I would have perhaps struggled with if I was growing up now, but I give credit to them. But in summary, be true to yourself, be honest and be kind.
Yeah, that's like a really key message. It's a really key message to like get through to our children and to our listeners on this. You know, I hate saying this. It just sounds so cheesy, but it is ultimately the thing. You do need to have that kindness to yourself, you know, and sometimes being kind to yourself is the way you very eloquently described through this last half hour is about realizing that you do have some agency in your life. You do have the opportunity to make some changes. You know, life's not happening to you. It's kind of, you have to kind of drive it. Any last couple of like pieces of advice and tell people where to get your podcast as well.
Piece of advice, listen, smile more, breathe more, exercise when you can, and don't worry about the small things, you know, because the big things will come. Where you can reach out to me, thekindest.com, and all social touch points at the kindest, and you'll find me and what I'm doing.
That's brilliant.
This has been great.
I'm glad. I mean, I'll get you back on soon, but I really do appreciate you taking the time. It's been really eye-opening, and thank you guys out there for listening. Another episode will be winging its way to you soon. Thanks everyone. Yeah.